Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Fully half of all marriages fail. The resulting carnage leaves a trail of dysfunction for generations. God intended marriage to develop character, and those who abandon their marriages miss many rewards. Today, what those rewards are. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Now, Erwin Lutzer turns to Ephesians chapter 5 in a series on Till Death Do Us Part. He's talking about this reality. The goal is holiness, not happiness, listing the many rewards we can miss.
Let's go on to a second reward that we miss. The lesson of selflessness. Selflessness. Now, how do you like this? Verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. Wow, husbands, love your wives as Jesus Christ loved the church. Had you ever given yourself up for her? The Bible says, love her as Christ did and gave himself up for her. This is a kind of love that doesn't depend upon how she looks, whether or not she is the same woman as you married. Howard Hendricks likes to tell the story of a guy who said, Howie, you haven't heard anything until you've heard about my wife. Hendricks said, all right, tell me. And he begins to write one notepad after another, all the things. And then Hendricks says, why in the world would you be so stupid as to marry a woman like that? He said, well, when I married her, she wasn't like that. Oh, I see. You made her that way, did you? Mm-hmm. You made her that way. Notice how selfless the love of Jesus Christ is. Despite our fickleness, despite our selfishness, despite our disloyalty, when we make Jesus look bad, he still loves us. Husbands, love your wives as Jesus Christ loved the church. Camp on that verse for a week and see what it'll do for you. Selflessness. I came across a quotation about what dying to self really is. And it's from an unknown source, but here it is. When you are forgotten or neglected or purposefully set at naught, and you sting and hurt with the insult or oversight, but your heart is happy being counted worthy to suffer for Christ, that's dying to self. When your good is evil spoken of, when your wishes are crossed, your advice disregarded, your opinions ridiculed, and you refuse to let anger arise in your heart or even defend yourself, but take it all in patient, loving silence, that is dying to self. When you lovingly and patiently bear any disorder, any irregularity, or any annoyance, when you can stand face to face with waste, folly, extravagance, spiritual insensitivity, and endure it as Jesus endured it, that is dying to self. When you are content with any food, any offering, any raiment, any climate, any society, any attitude, any interruption by the will of God, that is dying to self. When you never care to refer to yourself in conversation or to record your own good works or itch after commendation, when you can truly love to be unknown, that is dying to self. When you can see your brother prosper and have his needs met and can honestly rejoice with him in spirit and feel no envy or question God while your own needs are far greater and in desperate circumstances, that is dying to self. When you can receive correction and reproof from someone of less stature than yourself, and you can humbly submit inwardly as well as outwardly, finding no rebellion or resentment rising up within your heart, that is dying to self. Wow. I need to tell you, in humble confession today, that it has taken me not months, but years to see my own selfishness in my relationship with Rebecca. We as men just don't get it until God clobbers us with a 2x4. And even when he does that, we make other excuses for the pain. God says, serve your wife. Don't be her boss for a while. Serve her. And you'll notice that the scripture says, as Christ loved the church. Don't give me this, that she isn't the woman you married, or this shouldn't have happened in the first place. The question is now, how do you keep your covenant, and how do you let God sanctify you and purify you and bring to the surface all of that hostility and all of that self-will and all of that selfishness through the intimacy of marriage? That's the issue. Number three, purity. Purifying love. You'll notice, what is it that Jesus is up to? Well, he's sanctifying the church. You see, men, in case you missed it, you and I are to be Jesus to our wives. I remember counseling a young woman who was going to get married, and she didn't know whether or not she should marry this guy. And I said, well, are you getting married to Jesus? Well, that ended that for her. But that's the analogy. She's to be the church, you're to be Jesus. I mean, after a while, there should be some family resemblance, right? Now notice, what is Jesus up to? He's washing the church, sanctifying her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself, and ultimately to the Father, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. And that's what husbands are to do with their wives. They're supposed to be interested in their wife's walk with God and their wife's purity and holiness. And that's why the Bible says that we are to lead the home. It doesn't mean that you have to be a Bible teacher or teach a Sunday school class or know the Bible well, but do you encourage your wife by praying for her? Do you ever pray together? Is there in your mind an attitude here of service and helpfulness and encouragement as her leader? That's the question that needs an answer. And so what the Bible says here is that we have the responsibility negatively to keep our wives from evil. This is why there are some women who are working in environments where a Christian woman should never work, because it is an environment of temptation and it exposes her to evil. You say, well, you know, I'm single, you're speaking. And you're saying, how do I know, young ladies, listen. You're saying, how do I know that the man I'm going to marry is going to be interested in my purity and my sanctification so that when I die, I'm presented and made honorable to Jesus Christ? Here's a good criterion. How is he treating you during your dating experience? Is he encouraging you sexually? Does he want to convince you to go to bed with him before you get married? If he does, I suggest you take that fish and throw him back into the lake. All right? I think more of you should have clapped on that one. Many men are out there who say, I love you. What they really mean is, I love myself and I want you. Selfish, egotistical, self-absorbed, evaluating only your body, not your mind, not your heart, not your character. And they are unworthy of you, young ladies. They are unworthy of you. Jesus doesn't want an unholy wife. And because of that, he sanctifies the church and purifies it. And that's what he's doing in our hearts. And that's what our marriages should do. The whole point of marriage is to purify us. And as I've mentioned, there's nothing that brings our sins to the surface as clearly as the intimacy of marriage. Number four, there is intimacy. This is such a rich passage. Once again, I say to myself, this should have been a longer series, but I'll pick this up at some future time. Notice what the text is saying here. It says, in the same way, verse 28, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. Oh, what have you done for yourself recently? Oh, you say, I spend a lot of time making myself happy. Okay, spend an equal amount of time making your wife happy, and in the process, you will be happy because she's one body with you. You know, if you have a broken arm and you're trying to get help for the arm, it becomes important to you. Why? Because it's a member of your body, and when one part of the body hurts, the whole part hurts. When you have a disgruntled, unhappy wife, you hurt because she's part of your body. So whatever it is that you do to yourself, and most of us are very self-absorbed at this point, you do for your wife, because in the process, you are blessed. You want to be blessed? You bless your wife, and you'll be blessed. That's what the text says. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Jesus Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. And then it says, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. That's a separate sermon too. And the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound. And isn't it profound? Wow. So what he really means is that every time you pursue happiness for yourself, if you put that amount of energy into the pursuit of happiness on the part of your spouse, it comes back to you. Now, I told you that the purpose of marriage, the ultimate purpose of marriage, was actually sanctification and holiness, not happiness. But here's what I want to say now. When we get to this point, when our spouses are fulfilled, we get fulfilled, and our happiness is found in their happiness. Summarize it: happy wife, happy life. That's where your happiness is found. And I need to say again that in our marriage, Rebecca often has found her happiness in my happiness. To my shame, I'm only learning to find my happiness in her happiness. And that's really where happiness really comes from. Well, my friend, that really is true, isn't it? Happy wife, happy life. Blessed is the husband who has a happy wife, and blessed is the wife who has a good, trusting husband, one in whom she can safely trust. You know, our desire here at Running to Win is to do all that we possibly can to bring about a sense of wholeness to marriages and to homes. And at the end of this broadcast, you'll be given information as to how these messages can be yours. Marriage does indeed reveal the rebellion and the selfishness that is in our hearts. And it is as if we are extracting our selfishness without anesthetic. Be encouraged. God is with you. God is working. God knows all about your husband. God knows all about your wife. God knows about the tension between the two of you. And he has a solution. It's not an easy one, but it's a practical one, and it works. And that is humility, repentance, and forgiveness. Take that with you today, and I hope that you take it into your marriage. And I conclude today with a prayer that God will give all of us strong marriages for the glory and the honor of his blessed name.
Erwin Lutzer with more of The Goal is Holiness, Not Happiness. Another message on Till Death Do Us Part. Next time, more on why marriage is a crucible in which character is forged. Our series on Till Death Do Us Part can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.